Ephesians 6, you turn there. First time I heard Reg Kelly preach, if you remember that testimony, I was mad at him. My wife wasn't, but I was mad at him. And when he had an altar call that night, I don't think I went down. Okay? I don't think I did. But I've still got that sermon, and I listened to it. And even now, when I listen to it, I get under conviction. And sometimes I'll just stop and pray right then. God, help me with this. God, deal with me about that. So I've just learned to wait on the Lord. Waiting on God is better than anything. Somebody say amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You should have this memorized by the time we get done. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is why you ought not go and get slain in the spirit. Slain in the spirit is not standing. It's falling away. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, number one, principalities. Number two, against powers. Number three, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's where we're going. It's where we was this morning. It's where we're going tonight. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. How are you going to be able to do that? Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18 sometimes gets left out of this picture, but if you'll notice where it says Word of God, verse 17, that is a colon. It means sentence not done. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication to the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Sentence is still not done. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's still not done, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Melissa, have you worked with these guys any about diagramming sentences? Okay. Diagramming sentences, which means you draw a line and you separate, you put the noun here, you put the verb here, and it's got a little slanted line to separate the noun from the verb. And then there's always one that comes off the bottom. It tells you, you know, the direct object, and then the object of the preposition, and all this stuff. For punishment, have JR and Caleb, because I know it'll get a big rise out of them both, have them diagram one of the Apostle Paul's sentences. Like, verse, let's see here. Verse 14 through verse, there's one sentence here. Verse 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, and 20 is all one sentence. For punishment, have them diagram that sentence. Okay? And tell them they can't eat until they're done with it. Boy, that'd be cruel, wouldn't it? I'd turn you in for that, all right? Anyway, we're dealing with rulers of darkness, okay? So this morning, we're in Proverbs chapter 4. You can turn there, but I'm just going to cover this very quickly. Verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And what I was showing you this morning, and to me, that picture there was interesting. Why, John, why does that picture interest me? He's got wings on him. Okay? That shows you there is a spirit. Kurt Cobain had a spirit on him. And that spirit was so good to him, it caused him to end his life. Was it drugs or a pistol? I can't remember. Now, I got a church fight going. It was drugs or a shotgun. Somebody looked that up. But anyway, it caused him to end. That's how good his spirit was to him. It caused him to end his life, and he's in hell right now. God's Holy Spirit is never that mean to His people. I should get one more amen out of that. God's Holy Spirit is never that mean to God's people. Now, God may put the pressure on you, and the Spirit may just really push on you to confess and get rid of your sin. But the Holy Spirit of God will never cause you to put a bullet in your head. Never do that. He may save you from it. He'll never cause you to do it in it. And here's my point in all this. When there is darkness in a person's life, or in a person's family, or in a person's, let's say their church. When there's darkness in a nation, spirits will come in. You have created for them a habitation in which they will dwell in. Now, if you reverse that and you turn the light on, they won't take it for very long. They will have to leave. Just think about when Jesus came up on the scene and there'd be a man there full of devils. And when Jesus walked up, instantly, they could see the light. And they would, it'd drive them angry. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, what have we to do with thee before the time? They did not want Him around. Why? Because He was light and they dwelt in darkness. We covered that this morning. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Starting in verse 20. Let's see here, I'll get to it here in a minute. See who can beat me there. Drugs and it was both, huh? All right, you guys, calm it down now. Drugs and a gun. He got blasted on the drugs, and that caused him to get blasted. He's not the first, nor is he the last, to ever take so much drugs that it fried their brain and him put a gun to their head or jump off a building or something like that. Drugs will get you. Somebody say amen. If you know somebody, I'll just give you a challenge. If you personally know somebody that is on drugs, pray for them and cease not night and day. God can deliver them. God's done it before. He's done it with many people. God can and will deliver the dope head. God will deliver the drunk, the alcoholic. God will deliver all kinds of people. Amen? So you pray for them. They're in a bad way. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Watch this now. This is something that is represented in our nation right now. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Most marijuana smokers will justify marijuana. They'll justify whatever drug it is that they take, saying, it's good for me. It's not hurting anybody. This is what I like to do. And they try to be smarter than everybody else around them. You just don't have the awareness that I have. LSD takers, those that were taking LSD, I'll tell you what it does. It does open up an area of your mind that should forever stay closed. Because what happens is it breaks a barrier called sobriety that God, it's like a door that needs to stay closed. Does everybody follow me on that? Aldous Huxley, the guy that wrote A Brave New World, wrote that there is a door in your mind that is closed. On the other side of that door is enlightenment and an understanding of the entire universe that you will never get as long as that door is closed. A friend of his named Francis Crick, Does that name ring a bell? Francis Crick was, along with a man by the name of Watson, won the Nobel Prize for discovering how DNA, what it looked like, what shape it made, how it was joined together. They won the prize for that. Francis Crick was a friend of Huxley. So Crick took Huxley's advice. He was taking low doses of LSD so that door would open up a little bit in his mind to allow him to see things that ordinarily he would never have seen. His own admittance was he would have never discovered the twist of DNA, the chemical compounds of DNA, the four base pairs of DNA. He would have never figured that out had he not been taking low doses of LSD. What he did was he opened the door a little bit. Jim Morrison, anybody know who that is? He's a rock and roll singer. Jim Morrison named his band The Doors after Aldous Huxley. Jim Morrison was a drug head. An article came out a couple years ago that to me makes a lot of sense. Some of the people behind I don't know how the word is. I need to open a door in my mind so I figure out how to say this. Just kidding. The tech world, the technology companies in Silicon Valley, those that are coming up with these new technological revolutions every day, there's some new big thing being discovered. They polled some of their top research scientists, and most of them admitted to taking low doses of LSD on a daily or weekly basis so that they could figure out how to make some new technological breakthrough. In other words, the technology that you and I receive, probably just the tip of the iceberg of what the government, the Pentagon, owns, and their research and development departments, these people are opening doors in their mind that is giving them enlightenment on how to make some of these breakthroughs that we have with us and some that we don't even know about. Let me tell you what is on the other side of that door. Rulers of the darkness of this world. They're on the other side of that door. God wants you to keep them on the other side of that door. If you want enlightenment, read your Bible. The entrance of thy words giveth light. One day I wanted to know about the fourth dimension. I wanted to know about it. You know what I did? Read the Bible. And I saw things in here that I'm just going, look at that. That is amazing. Whenever I want to know something about any, when I sat down to write out the script for this Watchman broadcast I did on blood, one day I said, God, I don't know anything about blood and how it relates to the Bible. God, will you show me that? Boom, 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 boom. There it was. If you want light, here's your light right here. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What they call light is not light. It's darkness. And we are in a world right now where the top politicians, the top business people, the top scientists, the top in medical field, the top in research DNA, the top in doing the research in computers and how they work, are all being led by something they call light, but it's not light. It's darkness. Look back at your Bible again. They're wise, verse 21, they're wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. But out of all these smart people that are doing all this research in all these big areas, how many of them believe in God? Practically none of them. Well, in fact, let me tell you this. Steve Jobs. Does anybody know who Steve Jobs is? He made this. It's an iPad. Steve Jobs was the owner. He started Apple Computer Companies. His company invented the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, and things that I use on a daily basis. Steve Jobs came up with it. Steve Jobs was way deep into New Age mysticism. He did yoga, he meditated, which means that he emptied his mind and went into a deep, deep trance. And essentially, he did it without, maybe he did it without drugs. I don't know, maybe he used them. But he opened a door and let that darkness come into his mind and illuminate him. And there's no telling, had he been alive today, there's no telling what else he would have invented in his lifetime. But this technology, as neat as it is, and as I'm trying to use as much, I mean, I got tablets everywhere. Streaming and putting stuff on the screen and you're watching. I mean, I'm using it. But we know in 10 to 20 years, let's say in 20 years' time, they will have perfected the way for our brains to interface with computers. Let's say in 20, you think they will in 20 years? I think it'll probably be a lot quicker than that, but let's just say 20 years. You know what that's going to do to mankind? It's going to make them a god. Because then mankind will have the ability to have access to any be like the government. They'd be able to access anything they want to know about anybody. Just like that. Let's say that, Sterling, you don't text message, do you? Nah, that ain't him. But let's say that they gave you a tablet, not a tablet to swallow, not this kind of tablet, but a pill to swallow. And once it dissolved, it went in and built into your brain a mechanism to where you could send text messages to Gloria and she could send them back to you. Well, okay. Well, maybe it's not a pill. Maybe it's something else. All right. Do you think they'll come up with something like that? Sure they will. They will come up some, I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's somehow, some way, they're going to give mankind the ability with his mind to send messages to people and for them to send messages back to them. Or if you wanted to watch a movie, you can watch a movie in your brain. Or if you wanted the sensation of falling out of an airplane without ever falling out of an airplane, that could be downloaded into your mind. Man is going to become his version of a god. That's what Lucifer told Eve would happen. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay? Alicia taught me this. Okay? In the New Age movement, they had this thing where they talk about an awakening. All there's going to be, you need an awakening. You need to be illuminated. You need an awakening. And she taught me this. You actually have in your brain a third eye. In the middle of your brain, it's called a pineal gland. What does it release? Melatonin. This gland in your brain receives input from your eyes. Your eyelids are real thin, aren't they? And whether you want to or not, you seem to always know when the sun comes up if you have a window in your room, don't you? Because sun comes up and your eyelids are real thin and your eyes perceive that there's light and it sends that to your pineal gland. And your pineal gland, when the sun comes up and your eyes see it, it stops releasing melatonin. Melatonin is what makes you sleepy at night. You know how, like Jimmy is right now. You see, look at him. See, that sun's starting to go down. It's not much light as it was 2 hours ago. And you get to that point, you're sitting there and you're yawning. I knew it. I knew somebody would. You start yawning and you start getting drifty-eyed. And that's because your pineal gland has started releasing melatonin and making you go to sleep. Now, let me tell you how the New Age views this. They call that third eye the connection to the spirit world. And what they say is, we need to do some yogas on you and we need to do some techniques on you. We're going to awaken your body. We're going to activate your pineal gland and you'll have an awakening. Well, what does activating the pineal gland do? Put you to sleep. Releases melatonin and puts you to sleep. Do you see how this Bible's right? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. There it is right there. The New Age's version, some of these churches' version, oh, we're going to have a big awakening now. And what they want to do is they want to hit you on the head, have you fall backwards, slain in the spirit. And they call that an awakening. For some reason, you laying there dead, passed out, they call that an awakening. I don't call that an awakening. And I'm glad the day that God spared me from that. So anyway, but that's what they do. Look at verse 22. Here's the connection right here. Woe unto them, Roy. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto them. Roy said, I'm going to turn some light on this. And what would happen? Lights go out. Verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the what? The law of the Lord. Let me tell you something. What'll happen in a man's heart and in his life the moment he walks away from and rejects the Bible? I'll tell you what happens to him. He did it. He grew up, he was taken in by a family that took him to church, and he read his Bible and amen the sermon and believed. At one point he believed the Bible that he had been given. And you know what he did? In verse 24, he cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And where is he right now? He's in hell. See how it works? Woe unto these people that do that. Woe to these people protesting, hating the President of the United States because what he wants to do is enforce the law that says we're going to close our borders. And if you want to come in this nation, do it legally. Right, Nick? Mexico will not let you sneak in their borders and live off their government and their taxpayers. They'll throw you in prison or kick you back out. Mexico won't let our people go in there. Why should we let their people come in ours? It's ridiculous. All of these Muslim nations, that's whatever stupid judge panel that stopped the president's executive order, that we ought to send them to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia will not let us sneak in their country and live off their taxpayers' money for free. You'll get thrown in prison or sent back out. But the judges who put a stop to the president's executive order, according to them, they're just doing the right thing, when the very nations that we have allowed in will not do the same for us. They're calling good evil and evil good. This Bible's full of wisdom, is it not? Watch this. Turn to Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. What happens when you despise the law of the Lord? Verse 19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. You know what familiar spirits are? They're devils. Gods with a little g. Evil angels. Familiar spirits. Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. You know what that is? That's what it sounds like at some of these charismatic churches when they have their tongues service. Mutter, 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 peep, 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 mutter, mutter, mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Should not we as dead people seek unto a living God? Amen? To me, a dead man nailed to a wooden crucifix, that's not my God. I don't serve a dead God. I serve the living God. Amen? Amen? We have a cross, but it's an empty one. Our Savior is not on there any longer. Amen. Amen. That's what that is a sign of. Verse 20. To the law, should not a people seek to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now I want you to ponder that. Any preacher who will not use Scripture in his message, there is a reason why he will not use Scripture in his message. It is because there is no light in him. One of the last years, Sterling, Rose, you remember this, we were at camp in Missouri. Was they brought in one of these youth pastor hotshots in the denomination, and I knew the guy. And the board of the camp told him, now, we want you to come preach to our young people. Our board has agreed that any preacher who preaches here must use a King James Bible. You know what he did, Melissa? Threw a fit. Well, that's stupid. I didn't think I have a King James. Well, they said, well, that's our rule. Well, okay then. So you know what he did? Out of rebellion. This is what he did. He went, Jared, and went to a dollar store and bought a new King James Bible. Okay? And then, guess what he did all week? Never one time did he ever read from it, quote from it, or use it in any of his messages. All week long. And I protested that week. I was almost, Dave Bradley, going to pull my kids out of camp and come back home. And he even, at least I don't know if you remember this, during the course of the week that we'd have a workers' meeting every morning like we do down at Wilderness Point. And I don't know if somehow the subject matter came up of the altar calls and something like that. And he was in the meeting and he said, now, just to let everybody know, Tuesday night is usually my biggest altar call night. That's usually when I can really bring them in. And I'm just going, boy, I was hot. The truth of it is, it was the weakest, most impotent messages I've ever heard in my life. Almost no young people at the altars any night. I'll tell you, on top of that, I'll tell you what else he did. One of the first two nights, this is what really set me going, was he was talking out of the book of Esther without actually reading anything from the book of Esther. And you remember how in the first chapter of Esther, how the king brought out Queen Vashti and presented her? He made it a point to tell, now this room is full of teenage boys and teenage girls. But he made it a point to tell everybody in that room that more than likely he brought Queen Vashti out totally naked. Now, first thought in any boy's mind at that point is what? A naked woman. He exchanged the grace of God for lasciviousness right then and there. Then he bragged about how he used to play. He grew up in Springfield and was in Springfield as Brad Pitt was growing up. He knew Brad Pitt. And he said he played football against Brad Pitt's team, and he's reasonably sure that his hands touched the bottom of Brad Pitt during one of those games. And he's bragging about this. Let's read this verse again. To the law, to the testimony, verse 20, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. What he did was replaced it with darkness. And the sadness of it is, while we were the outcast after that week, we can't go back there anymore. Because it's gotten worse. He still thrives in that denomination. He's still one of the big hot shots that your mom and dad's pastor know him. Okay? Your mom and dad's pastor know him. If I told you the name, they'd know who it was. Okay? Amen. They shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. That was one of the reasons why we came out. And we're not going back. Why should we go into darkness? It should be those in darkness who should be drawn to the light. And I can't and will not take any credit for who watches online and what we do when we stream. The only thing that I can say is, as God has moved in my heart in the last 20 years to do nothing but put forth the light, those who have been in darkness will be drawn to it. You don't have to be some big, significant something. You don't have to be someone who's well-trained and well-versed and can speak well. All you have to do is shine the light. And people in darkness who are tired of being in darkness, they will come. They'll draw to you. They'll want to know what it is that you have. They'll want to know where you go to church. They will ask people, where did you hear that from? Okay? Where did you get that from? 1 Corinthians 4. This is the purpose of the light. What's the purpose of the light? 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. And this is really, this will expose who you really are. You see, if the Word of God manifests its light in your life and shows the counsel that's in your heart, if it causes you to praise God, you are God's child. But if it causes you to curse and be angry, you're out. You'll want nothing to do with it. And then it manifests who you really are and whose side, whose team you're playing for. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Remember that picture I was showing you? You were showing me in the office there, Sterling? I've got a book in my office, and I like to get books like this just for people come sit in my office, and they just like picture books. And this one is on comparative religions. And he opened up a page there, and it was a wedding. It wasn't just any wedding. It was a mass wedding. It was one of Reverend Sun Myung Moon. When Moon did it, he liked to do it in big style. And Moon would always marry hundreds of people at once. I think in this picture, there was over 5,000 couples getting married all at once. And they were all wearing the exact same thing. All the brides were wearing pure white. And all the bridegrooms were wearing what? Black. Pure black. And I showed you. I said, Sterling, you know what that is? That is, and he said it. Yin. Joe said it too. Yin yang. It is the marriage of light and darkness together. But what does your Bible say? What fellowship? Be ye not unequally yoked together. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? They don't. They're not married to one another. They're not equal to one another. And God, John said it, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. For anybody to say, well, God has got a little bad side to Him too, that's a lie. Well, God's got a little evil in Him. You know, God says lies every now and then. That's a lie. Makes me mad. That's like saying, well, the Bible kind of contradicts itself every now and then. No, it doesn't. That is a lie. There is no contradictions in the Bible. There are no errors in the Bible. If you say, I believe in the Holy Bible, then you must believe that everything in it is 100% spot on. Or you believe that light and darkness are mixed together. That truth and error can live and abide together in the same book. And I don't, I used to believe that. But I was in darkness then. And when you're in darkness, things like that don't bother you. But when God turns the light on, you start seeing it. And listen, I want in my life, I'm telling you, there is only one thing about Mike Hoggard that is nothing but pure light and pure goodness and pure righteousness. And that is the Bible that I carry. The only thing right about me ever is my Bible. Don't put me on a pedestal. Don't think of me above anybody else, because I'm not. The only thing right about me is the Word of God. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Somebody say amen to that. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Carry a Bible around with you. You got one on your phone? Who's got a smartphone? Who's got a Bible on it? It should be. Everybody who has a smartphone should have a Bible on it. That way, if you're sitting and waiting, if you're at Walmart sitting and waiting for your medicine to get turned in, just pull your Bible out and start reading it. You're sitting in McDonald's and they ain't got your hamburger yet. Pull your Bible out and start reading it. And you go to the doctor's office. You know you're going to sit there more than 5 minutes. Pull your Bible out and read it. Or somebody you know or a family member strikes up a conversation with you and you know there's something about it in the Bible. Look it up right there in front of them. Say, you know what, hang on, I got a Bible right here. Hang on, let's look at that. So, see, right there in the Bible. You'd be amazed at the number of people you could turn on to the light of Jesus Christ by showing them one thing that they misunderstood out of the Bible. You know what you just did? Dropped a seed, and then seed is light. That's all you did for them. You used to be darkness, but now you're light. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I'm already kind of stepping. I may do this Sunday morning, but I'm going to show you where I'm going to go Sunday morning. Okay? Turn there. There's no easy way I can get into this except to say turn to, I don't have it for you yet. Psalm 44:19, you can turn there. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. This is going to be related to a thing I've done called Where Dragons Live. But what I'm going to do, if the Lord will let me do it next Sunday morning, if not, I'll just wait for God to let me do it sometime. But there is an enormous amount of information in your Bible about things, about these devils that love to inhabit dark places. And any place where the light is not present, automatically there will be certain types of devils that will be drawn to that. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? Owls. When do you usually hear owls? Nighttime. Bats. Where do bats stay during the day? In your attic? Still up there, huh? He really does have bats in his belfry. Bats love caves, dark places. When they come out, everybody says they're blind as a bat. Bats are not really blind. They actually have decent sight. But they come out at night because God gave them sonar. And we used to try to hit bats with old newspapers that were been thrown out in the driveway and they get wet, you know, and they get real tough. We used to go out at night underneath the light pole. And then bats come around trying to catch those bugs flying around it. We used to try to hit them with newspapers or anything we had in our hand. You can't hit them. Why? Because they got sonar. Okay? But I'm telling you, when in the absence, and you listen to this, in the absence of your Bible, any day of the week, in the absence of your Bible, spirits will move in. And they are bad. They're killers. They're flesh eaters. They're waiting, listen to this now, for something to go to sleep. Because they're not. And they'll destroy whatever it is they find sleeping. You take that and put some wisdom to it. All right? Like I say, if God let me do it next Sunday, that's where I'm going to head next Sunday morning. All right? So you pray for me that I can deliver that message the way God wants me to do it. All right? Let's stand to our feet.